If you have your Bibles, if you will, open them up to 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 3 and 4. Kings chapter 17, verses 3 and 4. Let's go to the Lord in prayer before we begin. Father, we thank you for this day and all that you've done, most especially your presence. And Father, get me out of the way, and Lord, speak to our hearts this morning. And Lord, that we may receive your word and apply it to our lives. To you be the glory for this. Don't let us leave the same way we walked in here. We'll give you the praise, the glory, and the honor for it all. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. 2 Kings, chapter 17, verses 3 and 4. I found as I started teaching again on Wednesday nights, and I started with something, and I didn't realize what I had at the time because I had never tied all these scriptures together. But in this scripture, Elijah, he has went and he's prophesied the battle with Ahab and Jezebel. We all know that story, and how he's kind of running from them because he's pronounced famine and all this bad stuff on them. And he's kind of run off now. He stood with power and authority, and all of a sudden he's running scared like a little rabbit, you know, and all these things. It's funny how we look at Bible people and we think they were such powerful people, but yet and still they got depressed just like we do. They got scared just like we do. They had all these things that happened to us. But in these two scriptures, there's something that the Lord showed me very powerful. He said this. He said, "Leave here." Then the word of the Lord, verse 2, excuse me, I'll start there. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah, "Leave here and turn eastward." Underline that word eastward in your Bible. "Hide in the Kereth Ravine and east of the Jordan, and you will drink from the brook, and I have ordered the ravens to feed you there." Underline that word there, because that word there is what I want to talk to you about this morning. Where is there? You see, there's people that may be seated in here this morning. You've come searching for there. There's people searching for there all the time. All through time, people have tried to get there. Jake has been singing about it this morning, the first service we were there. And so Elijah, he said, "Get away from here and go there." And he said, "There by the brook, I will feed you. I will cause ravens to feed you." Now, that's a big miracle in and of itself because they're buzzards. I'm going to talk in our terms, okay? They're buzzards. By nature, they want to eat what they get. Bringing you something to eat is not in their nature. So that's a miracle in and of itself. But he said, "Get from here and go there." You see, all through time, Elijah was hunting a place of solitude, a place of uplifting, a place to be. And he said, God sent him from here to go there. And so I want to talk to you about there this morning because, you know, Abraham, he left Ur going to a place called there. He left a nice neighborhood, a nice home, brick home, and all the furnishings and Mercedes Benz and all those things. He left there to go live in a tent in there. You see, the people, the children of Israel, they cried out to God for deliverance. And he said, "I'm going to take you from here, but I'm going to take you there." They wandered for 40 years in the wilderness wanting to get there. We have all been in all of our lives not realizing, but we have been searching for there. Every one of you probably in this place this morning are wondering where there is. And I began to ask God, because I ask weird questions all the time, and God, he has to have special rules for me because he knows how, you know, I am about stuff. And so anyway, I began to look at that, and I began to look at what, and he took me and he showed me that everybody that got there were changed. They were no longer different. And so I began to look, and so 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1, 2, and 3, I found Paul. There are many people I could have used, but I feel what this is the Holy Spirit led me to use.
He said this. Now, this is Paul. He's talking in the third person here. You got to understand, when you talk in a third person, it's kind of like me telling you, well, I done this thing, but I don't want you to think I'm bragging, so I'm going to talk. I knew a man that done such and such. He said, I must go on boasting, although there is nothing to be gained. I will go on to the visions and revelations from the Lord. Verse 2, I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether it is in the body or out of the body, I do not know, but God knows. I know that this man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know, but God knows. And so he goes on and he said, I was caught up. You need to underline that word right there, caught up, to paradise. He heard inexpressible things, things that no man is not to permit to be said. Now, I begin to look at that. Paul was caught up to the third heaven. You know, and I began to look and I thought, well, he said 14 years ago. I said, well, where was Paul 14 years ago? And I began to do the little research there, and he was in Lystra in the book of Acts, chapter 14. I believe it's verses 19 and 20. You'll find it there in your Bible. I'm going to give you some scriptures as we go along. I won't necessarily go there, but I'll tell you about it. You can write them down, okay? Acts chapter 14, verses 19 and 20, it talks about that he was there in Lystra. Now, what was happening was he was preaching, and the people got so tore up, those church people got so tore up about what he was preaching about that they took him out and drug him out to the dump, to the city dump, because they was going to stone him, the Bible says. Well, you've got to understand the Jewish stoning. If you've never heard of it, this is how it works. They had a platform out in the garbage dump where you dumped all your garbage. If you've ever seen a landfill or something like that, or a big garbage dump, that's where they took him. And they had a platform made to where it had 14 steps. And the guy in charge of this lynch mob would take him out there, lead him up on that thing, and then they had a little platform that they would lay him back to where his chest and stuff was sticking bare and have his arms back. He would take the great big rock, and he would stand up over him and drop that rock as hard as he could, crushing everything within here. And so if that didn't do the trick, everybody standing around would get to chunk rocks at him then. So can you imagine this? They have done all these things, but it talks about in those scriptures, he says, he don't know if I died, I don't know if I was taken out of the body, I don't know if I passed out. That's what he's talking about here. He's trying to express what happened to him. But in those scriptures, it talks about that the disciples gathered around him and began to pray for him. And the next day, he was preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the thing I love about Paul is all through his ministry, he caught the dickens, but he said, you might have knocked me down, but you didn't knock me out. He said, I'll always come back. Why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ, when he's in your life like that. But that's not what I want to talk to you about. What I want to talk to you about is this thing called paradise, heaven. I want to talk to you about, he says, I was caught up. I begin to look at that and I begin to understand some things that the Lord, I believe, wants us to understand this morning. And it is this, that God wants you to have a third level experience. Now, you know, I've been born at such a time to where I've come up under that old-timey religion, and I like the new religion. I don't like any kind of religion, but you know what I'm talking about. In the sweet by and by, let me have a log cabin in the corner of heaven and all that stuff. All those old songs is wait till I get to heaven. Folks, I don't know about y'all, but I begin to ask the questions. Man, I'm having troubles here. I can't wait till I get to heaven. I want something now. And Jesus showed me through the scriptures, he said, I died for that reason, so that you could have something now. He said, I want you to have a third heaven experience. And he said, I died so that you could live, so that you could see, be caught up in paradise. And so I began to research that and look at that, and I found some interesting things. Now, I want you to understand what I'm about to share with you is types and applications to our lives, okay? That's what I want to show you is how our Christian lives and how our Christian walk is handled here on earth and all these things. So please bear with me. In Isaiah 14, verses 13 and 14, you said, this is Satan talking to God. You've got to understand that. This is probably one of the most powerful scriptures that shows that there are three levels of heaven. There are three heavens. He said, you said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the mount of assembly on the utmost heights of the sacred mountain. Verse 14 says, I will ascend above the tops of the clouds, and I will make myself like the Most High. And so what we're talking about here, there is three levels of heaven, and I want you to get this. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, it talks about this. It says that God created man in His image, and He talks about, He said that He was gave him dominion over all the fowls of the air and all that things and every creeping thing on the earth. Now, the first heaven is this. It's what I want us to guess. I'm going to use the mountains that I found. This is what God showed me in the Scriptures. There are a mountain range, about six or seven mountains around Jerusalem. And so He's talking about, He's showing us that in those mountains, they represent each three different things. There are three mountains that sit right around Jerusalem. The first mountain, which is found in 2 Chronicles chapter 33, is Mount Ophel. The second mountain, which is found in Joel chapter 2, verse 32, is Mount Zion. The third mountain is called Mount Moriah. It's found in 2 Chronicles chapter 3, verse 1. Now, these mountains, when you study and look at them, those names mean something very important. Because you see, what when I first began and He told Elijah, He said, you go eastward. He wasn't talking about a geographical place. I looked up eastward, and you know what that word means in the Hebrew language? It means refuge of God. He says, you go, and He says, I've got a place already prepared for you so that all this trouble that's around you, I need you to get up from here and go there. Well, I began to look at those mountains. I began to look at this, and I thought, where does these heavens play in for us? And so the first heaven, the first one is Mount Ophel. It talks about, you know what's at Mount Ophel? Mount Ophel is where the pool of Siloam is. It is where Jesus healed the blind man and told him to go wash in the pool of Siloam. And he did, and he went. And you know what that represents? That represents salvation for us. It is the smallest of the mountains, of those three mountains I just named. It is the shortest one. He said, go wash. What does that mean? What does that represent in our lives? It is the first level of heaven. It is the first where we domain. We live in this heaven here on earth. Because what it says is this, I was blind, but now I see. That represents salvation for us. That represents us coming to God and getting saved, getting washed and cleansed. And all that thing from all the iniquities. Now, the first heaven is beautiful. How many of you have been enjoying the color this year of all of these beautiful leaves and stuff like that? We love first heaven because down here you look up and you see those little poofy clouds, like the toilet paper commercial and all that stuff. You see, you know, what is it? Northern, I don't know, white cloud, that's what it is. And you see all that charming and everything, and somebody said that. But you've got all these nice, you see those beautiful birds, the beautiful trees, the scenery, the land. Oh, it's so wonderful. It's so beautiful to be here and to live here and everything. And you just sing and you come to church and you just have a big time and enjoy life. The problem with the first heaven is there's tornadoes. There's tsunamis. There's Katrinas. There's stuff that happens that we don't understand that goes on in the first heaven. And you see, when we're down here, what that represents for us is when you're living in the first heaven, your eyesight ain't very good because, see, I started out down here. Now, see, I can see you pretty good right now. See, our thing in the first heaven, what this represents, and this is very important. I want you to get, if you're a first heaven, first level Christian, you are controlled. You're running off of your emotions. You're running off of things because why? You're saved, but everybody's opinion down here bothers you. You're trying to meet somebody's standard. And then every little thing that comes along, you know what you do? Something goes wrong with the house you're living in? What's our first response? I'll leave. What happens the first time a little bit of trouble goes on in the church? I'll go find me another one. What happens when the first time you go out and you don't like the paint job on your car? I'm going to go down and get me a new one. We change constantly on first level heaven. You're always moving. You're always changing. You're always doing these things. Why? Because you are operating still on your emotions and what you think. You have never gotten to a point that where God is controlling all those things. You see, we're controlled by people's opinions and what they're telling you. You're always searching out somebody. Well, what should I do? Well, their life is more messed up than yours, and you're going to ask them what to do? That's a little scary, folks. It's time we wake up and smell the coffee. Hey, you're asking somebody that ain't got their own deal ready. But see, that's what you do, is you run and you ask them, and you say, what can I do? And see, every time something comes along, we're constantly changing, searching for there. Because we're not happy here, we just don't know what we're after here. Now, the second level, Christian, moves up a little notch. You know what? I can see you a little better up here. I can see you with your phone out and doing stuff like that, you know, and playing with it. From up here, I can look down. I got a better view of you. Mount Zion is the second level. You know what Mount Zion represents? It represents deliverance. You see, a first-level Christian is still hooked. You're still fighting the same old habits. Maybe you still smoke. Maybe you still drink. Maybe you still do all those things. You're so aggravated with your life because you can't kick this thing. That's that first level of heaven you're living in. And that's why it's tormented day and night, because it's all these trials and tribulations. And in your mind, you're depressed. You can't get over stuff. Everything in the world that comes along, it just knocks you down on your knees. You just want to give up and all these things. But then all of a sudden, you realize, you say, oh my God. Jesus said, I died that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And you get that in your spirit, and all of a sudden you come, oh, praise God. You go up to Mount Zion. Mount Zion is the place of deliverance. That's where those shackles begin to fall off your life. That junk you've been dealing with, those emotions that's been running wild with you, and what people are saying about you, and every time something don't go your way or something falls apart, you get all emotional and you run over here and you run. Pretty soon you're starting to get the Word in you. Pretty soon you're starting to understand that the Word of God is what's going to change me. And deliverance starts to come in your life. Now you're starting to look at stuff different. Why? Because, see, down here you look at it one way, but now that you're getting up higher, you're able to look down at your situation instead of looking at it. Because the sad part about most Christians is we'll look at our situation and never look up to God. We're always praying, say, God, come down here. God, bring us revival. God said, why don't you come up here where I'm at? Because the view is a whole lot different. And I began to look at it, and I thought about the heaven. And I got up there and I looked and I said, yes, because you know what? The cool thing about the second heaven is all that old crazy mess, people's, all that stuff, of all that drama that goes on in people's lives, it doesn't affect you anymore. You're not operating off your emotions anymore. You're reading your Bible. You're praying. You're talking to God. You're starting to, hey, mess with me, Satan. Come on. Give me something. Just throw it at me. I'll take it on. I ain't worried about it. The doctor said I got this problem. I don't care. It ain't bothering me. Why? Because I serve a God much higher and much bigger than you are. And you don't scare me no more. And so, you know what? That is an awesome place to hang out. But there's some things you need to know about the second heaven. There's some people or stuff that lives in the second heaven. Ephesians chapter 6. You know who hangs out there? For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of the evil in the heavenly realms. You know who's hanging out there? Oh, you move to a new level. You ain't just being beat up and run over and quit and all this stuff all the time. Now you're starting to have to do some real fighting. Why? Because, folks, what you got to understand, God showed me this about my own life, so, you know, I ain't beating on you. I already know this. When you live in the first level Christian, you're running. Satan don't have to mess with you. And we always run around talking about what Satan's done to us. He don't have to do nothing. We're still making decisions for ourselves, so we're messing up our lives big enough and quick enough on our own. He really don't have to do a whole lot because you just react. Somebody don't like what you're doing, and you get mad at somebody, you just run off over here, and that really fouls up thing, and then you'll say, oh God, please, I need to answer for this, thank you. And then you go call your buddy, and you go make that decision. So first level Christians, we really mess it up bad enough, and Satan just kind of sits and laughs. But now when you get up on Mount Zion, things change. Why? Because you're not operating there no more. You're operating off of what the Word is. Now, I want you to get this concept in your head. I thought, well, what's that got to do with the price of tea in China? I've heard that scripture all my born days. I understand we fight powers and principalities. We're not fighting flesh. But then he took me to Revelation chapter 12, verses 1, 2, and 3, 4. He talked about this. He said, I saw a great wonder. Now, theologically, let me clear this up. Theologically, this chapter is talking about Israel and the Lord Jesus Christ being born out of Israel. It talks about the woman, and it talks about the birth. But there's some things I want you to get. It said in verse 1, a great and wondrous sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and a crown of 12 stars on her head. You know what's in the second level of heaven? The heavenlies? That's when you're getting above the clouds, not you're getting in the stars. You're starting, you remember, what was his name? Shepherd, or one of them that went to the moon and looked up there and he looked back and he said, there has to be a creator, there has to be God, because he looked back and he saw that glory. That's where you're living at now. You're no longer down here on all this stuff to where you just got the leaves piled on you. You're up here and got the Word in you. And see, it talks about when you move up in that realm, you've moved to a different level in your life. I'm going somewhere. I know I may be boring you just a little bit. But anyway, she says she was pregnant and cried out in pain and she was about to give birth. Verse 3 says this. It says that there was another sign in heaven, an enormous red dragon with 7 heads, 10 horns, and 7 crowns on his head. Now there's the red dragon. The red dragon simply means Satan. That's where he hangs out, because why? When you get up here on this second level, he can't just let his little pesky demons bother you no more. He's got to come in with the big deal, because why? That's why, because you've got the Word of God in you. And you know, I thought, that's great, that's wonderful. It said that he stood before the woman to devour what? She was about to give birth. Now the birth, it all represents this one thing. Now remember, they were talking about levels in your life. The birthing is what? The birthing is when the seed has been put in you. The seed represents, it talks about in Mark chapter 4 and Luke chapter 8, it talks about the seed is the Word of God. You see, I said when you get to the second level, you quit asking everybody their opinion, you start going to God, getting the Word in you. Well, what He's after is that seed, that Word that's in you. You got your promise. I'll bless you coming in, going out. He said, there is nothing too impossible for God who loves me. You got all those promises in there, and I thought, well, that's great, but what's that got to do with the price of tea in China? And God took me and he showed me this, and he said, this is what happens to second level Christians so many times, is Satan has come to devour the seed. How does he steal the promise of the Word from you? He took me to Daniel chapter 10, and he showed me there, said Daniel, the archangel Michael said, I am glad he had been fasting and praying for 21 days. And he said, I've been warring in heaven. Folks, what I want you to get, when you pray, your prayers have got to pass through that second level. But because Daniel knew the Word of God would stand strong, he didn't stop praying. And for 21 days it took to come an answer. How does Satan steal that from you? By not you. We get up from here because we're used to running to the microwave and standing in front of it and saying, hurry up. And when we come down here and pray, we pray with one knee down, one eye open and ready to jump and run. And by the time we get back to our seat, because God has not answered it, we think, oh well, it didn't hear it. Satan came in and stole the promise from you. How many of you have quit too soon? How many of you has ever made a decision? You say, well, I've prayed about this, but nothing has come. And you went on and done something in and of yourself. And if you'd have waited 2 more days, it'd all worked out. Anybody ever done that besides me? Or am I only dumb one in here? I'm telling you, this is how it works. Second level Christians, Satan wants to steal, kill, and destroy. How does he do that? He sends bigger and worse things, and you grab hold of the Word of God. That's where deliverance comes. You see, that mountain is always a mountain of vision. I want to tell you something. How many of you seated here this morning, I don't know who this is for, but how many of you are seated here this morning that God promised you something and you've about give up on it? You were reading your Bible one day and God spoke into your spirit and said, I'm going to do this in your life. How many of you have been praying that Brother Huckabuck will get saved, but now you've all but given up and quit the battle? Why? Because Satan has come in. And they said there's been a war in heaven over your prayer. How many of you have been praying for deliverance and it didn't seem like it was coming and you all but have given up? He has all but taken the promise of God in your life. And that's how he steals from you in so many ways. And I began to look at that and I thought, oh man, You know what the really cool thing about all this is? Is he said the woman was persecuted. In all that chapter, and I don't have time to take you there, but it said he took her into a wilderness. What is a wilderness? Have you ever prayed and you thought it was so dry? It was, and that God wasn't even there? You didn't feel spiritual? Have you ever had those times in your life? You see, when you're living at the second level, that's what's going to happen. And then the next thing that come on the woman was persecution. Has any of your family members freaked out on you because of what, you a Jesus freak now? What's your deal? You don't want to drink with us no more. You don't want to smoke with us no more. You don't want to listen to our jokes. You don't want to watch our TV shows. We don't want to watch Okra and Degenerate and all that bunch. We don't want to see all that stuff. I don't want that mess in my life. Why? Because I'm living in a different level. Why? Because, see, like I said, when you get here, things look different. You don't keep looking at junk like that no more. You begin to change in here, and he sends what? Your best friend. Anybody ever lost their best friend over Jesus? I did. I lost my best friend right after I got saved. And I parted ways. I loved that boy. Me and him been through everything. But I loved Jesus more. Has anybody ever had trouble in your household over Jesus? Oh, come on. We'll dig now. We're going to plow. You living, folks, I'm going to tell you something. This is a sure sign you're a second-level Christian. Second heaven is when you don't run to the preacher or somebody else. You run and get your Bible. That means you living in the second level right there. But you see, I want to tell you something. It talks about that woman also in chapter 12 said that she was caught up. You remember I told you to underline that word caught up? I looked that word up. You know what that word means? It's a Greek word. And that's where, anybody ever heard the word rapture? Anybody ever heard the word argued about, rapture's not in the Bible? It's not. It's a theological word in which we came up with. Caught up means this in Greek, harpozu. It simply means that we're walking along and all of a sudden you turn and that person you were walking with is snatched and gone. They've been seized. Another rendering of that word means this, that you see a person maybe standing in harm's way and all of a sudden getting them by the hair of the head and jerking them out of the way. Paul said, I don't know if I was in the body or out of the body, but I was caught up. Do you know what the cool thing about the third level heaven, and it's possible to have it right here for us in heaven? Yeah, the third level gets you way on up here to where this. You way above all that stuff down there. You hear all that noise, but it don't bother you. You see all this smoke and mirrors that Satan does and all this stuff of lies he likes to tell people, but it ain't bothering you. According to Revelation chapter 6, it tells us this, that the martyrs are living up under the throne room of God, dressed in white robes. And Paul said, we'll be known as we're known. And it also says that in heaven, what he saw, I saw things so great that I can't even talk about them no more. But what it talks about too, in Revelation chapter 22, it talks about there's a fruit tree in life, a tree of life. It talks about this, a crystal river flowing with milk and honey down through it. But it talks about 12 fruits. And what I'm wanting you to understand this morning is, folks, is if you'll climb up just a little bit higher, if you'll get hungry and want to get rid of here and go there, there's a place in God that you can get here on this earth that where you can get so high in Him, He'll take you and plant you by that river. And He'll begin to feed you and nourish you. And yet nourishment comes from the Word of God. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. And who eats of me will not hunger. And if you'll drink of this, you'll never thirst again. What happened to Paul was he was about knocked out of life, but God took him up, snatched him out. Have you ever had a time that things were so bad in your life, darkness come all around you, and old prayers seemed to be answered. Nobody had a word for you. Nobody cared for you. You felt like you were the only person on this planet that God Himself had turned His back on you. But now you're living at the third level. You held on. You said, I left there, I'm going there. You grab that word and you're reminded of that promise. And that promise says, God, I'm going to snatch you out right now. And I'm going to take you and I'm going to nourish you. I'm going to let you feed. Have you ever gotten in a quiet corner somewhere and began to read scriptures? All of a sudden it made all the sense. All of a sudden freedom came. All of a sudden joy came. All of a sudden a song came on that you began to listen to. That's God snatching you out and showing you the third heaven. He said, your problems are still going on, but you don't live there no more. I brought you up. I delivered you. And you know what? Mount Moriah, that's where the Solomon's temple was built. You know what else about Mount Moriah? That's where Isaac went up on the mountain. Abraham was going to sacrifice his son. You know what Mount Moriah means to us? Provision. That's where you, when you get there, you get provision for your hard times in your life. Church, I want you to understand something. You don't have to walk around in the first level. You don't have to walk around beat down. You don't have to. There's a place in God to where He wants to catch you up, take you to a higher place, and let Him feed you while you're hurting. Feed you while you don't have a job. Feed you while you don't have no money to pay the bills. Feed you when all the world hates you. Feed you when you don't feel like shouting no more. There's a place to be caught up because God wants to leave you there. That's what I'm talking about. He says if you want to leave here, you got to go there. There is when you say, preacher, I don't need you. I want God. Isaiah in the temple done what was not supposed to be done. He run by the priest. You see, in the third level heaven, that's where the glory of God is. You don't believe me? You study the tabernacle. That the priest could not stand because the glory of God was so heavy in that place that they fell as dead men before His glory. Have you ever had a time? I remember Miss Carla one Sunday morning. She fell as a dead woman, praising and worshiping God. I knew the glory of God was in this house. I could see it, I could feel it, and I knew it. She would reach that third level heaven. Folks, what I'm telling you this, I have found it. I have found there's a place called there that it's attainable here on earth. I promise you, I've got as many troubles as y'all have got this morning. I could share with you and we'd all cry together, but I ain't doing that no more. I quit that back in December of this past year. God took me up to the third heaven and He showed me. He said, when it becomes all about me, when you understand Matthew 6, when it says, my kingdom come and yours go. You see, up toward Mount Moriah, there was provision made, but something had to die. And you notice all those three levels, as you go up each level, something dies on you. You get a little less of you and a little more of God. A little less of you and all your wants and desires and wills and ways. And God says, no, you're starting to look just like my son now. And he walks with glory, power, and authority. He but speaks the word. And the sick can be healed. The lame walk. The blind see, the deaf hear. I want to know from you this morning, are you wanting to go there? Are you sick and tired of business as usual? Then there's a place by Him called there. He said, get up. And He said, I'll feed you there. How many of you have walked in here with a load this morning and you've been battling this thing? I'm telling you, if you'll say, I don't worry about it no more, God, you said you've got it. Here I am. Come and get it. You see, God gave a ram in place of Isaac up there. Why? Because Abraham had a promise that out of his loins was going to be a people, a nation raised up. He knew if he killed him, he'd have to raise him up. Folks, with God, there is no death. You say, wait a minute, preacher, it is too. No, It is for what we can understand here on earth, but when you're living here, it's hard to see that, but when you're here, you can understand that when you shut your eyes and draw your last breath here, you never tasted of that. You went immediately if you know Jesus Christ. And if you don't know Jesus Christ this morning, if He's not Lord of your life, then you have no clue what I'm talking about. I'll just be blunt with you. But you understand. He says, we'll be known as we're known. And He said, there's another place to be. He said, you'll never taste of death. He said, I'm just going to go make you new. I'll share this quick story with you. My dad passed away last year. And a week before he came, or passed away. God was merciful in all this so many ways. But my mother, which had been gone since I was about 16, 17 years old, she came to me that night, and I wasn't dreaming, snorting my socks or doing anything like that. But she came to me, and I saw my mother young and beautiful as she once was. The pictures I had seen, she had been made new. She come and never said a word, just smiled and turned around and walked back over that hill, and it was such a glorious sight. I could share some things with you, it'd blow your circus. I don't know why me, but anyway. God let me know on that Wednesday evening, the following Wednesday evening, my dad, he says, God's coming to get me at 10 o'clock Friday morning. I didn't think nothing about it. Mama, God had sent Mama to let me know he's fixing to go. Took him out. That Friday morning at 10 o'clock, man left this earth. But praise God, I was able to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with him before I know where he went. So now I get to see him again. But you know what? They're going to be young. They're going to be whole. They're not going to be broken. They're going to be torn down. That's the hope that we have. But you know what? Like I said, we've still got to live here. I'm telling you, Jesus wants you to live in the third heaven. But I'm going to tell you this too. Nobody told me this. Preachers always like to preach about the glory, but they don't never tell you about the pain. Well, I'm going to tell you the pain of this. You've got to get out of the way. It ain't about you no more. And as long as you hang on to you and all of your stuff, you'll never get there. You'll always be wondering. One day, Jesus Christ came and died on that cross for it to be done now, not one day. Friend, if you're ready and you're sick of being here and you want to be there, it's in your lap. I'll pray with you. I love you. I love every one of you. But this is a personal thing between you and the Lord Jesus Christ. You look Matthew 6 up and read that prayer. He says, Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, not yours. You've cried enough tears. You've shed enough heartache. Are you ready to leave here and go there? It's up to you, and I'm done. The altar's open. I'll pray with you. I'll help you understand there. But as we stand and sing, Jake plays, I want you to think about, are you tickled to death about where you're living right now? Or do you want something different? It's an altar call away. It's up to you. Please stand to your feet.